Direct us, O Lord, by thy most gracious favor, that in all things begun, continued, and ended in thee, we may have your blessing. All this we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's please take a moment of silence in which we remember those who are no longer with us, those people who are part of our lives, be they our grandparents, father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, cousin, or whoever. To lose a parent is to lose the past. To lose a spouse, friend, sibling is to lose the present. To lose a child is to lose the future. Each of us has loved and lost, and now the grief that we feel is sometimes overwhelming and persistent at all times. All of the fears the heart of man has, none that is more greater than the fear of death. It's our greatest fear, the sum of all fears. We're afraid to die. We're afraid of what happens when we die, because death is definitely a problem. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 2. Job asks this all-important question: if a man dies, shall he live again? He also answers it: all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Job 14, verses 14 through 15. Job knew that he could look forward to a change, to eternal life, but he also knew that it was a long way off. Life is short and so uncertain. James 4, verse 14 says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Moses said to the Lord in Psalm 90, verses 5 through 6, you sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it spring up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We must understand that we cannot change yesterday. We can only live today. To live today despite our loss, we have to begin to replace the regretful words of if only with the grateful words nevertheless. Sure, we could have placed more protective rules in order to keep our children safe. Nevertheless, we love them with a freedom that they needed and appreciated. Sure, we could have told them more often that we loved them. Nevertheless, we did speak and show our love, and they knew it. Sure, we could have done more for him. Nevertheless, we did a lot for him and he was grateful for it. Nowhere in the Bible does it speak of the words if only. However, frequently the Bible uses the language of nevertheless. We cannot change the painful past or bring back our loved ones. Nevertheless, we can live with gratitude for the love we had and for the life we shared, even though that love and life ended way too soon. How we live with the grief that has rocked the world. Will we get stuck in yesterday with the words, if only, or will we move ahead towards tomorrow with the words, nevertheless? We grieve our losses in life. Nevertheless, life must go on. Jesus tells us in John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I go by faith in the belief that our Lord hasn't lied to us yet, and why should he do it now? We must be comforted in the fact that our loved ones are no longer in pain, and that should be a part of the relief that we feel. How are we handling the emotions of our losses these days? The emotion that accompanies the death of a loved one can be so intense that we don't know how to handle the feelings. When we are afraid of what might happen if the pain within us comes out, we try to bottle up our emotions and keep them hidden. We try to give the impression that we are strong, that we can handle anything. Unfortunately, we begin to wonder, what would happen if I let my emotions out and I begin to cry? Worse yet, what if I can't stop crying? What if I just want to crawl up into a ball and be left alone forever? The bottom line is that there will be pain and hurt within us. It will come out sometime, somewhere, and somehow. If we don't allow ourselves to grieve with tears over our loved one, our grief may come out at the wrong time and in damaging ways, as such misplaced anger toward other loved ones or as destructive actions towards ourselves. We need to release the pain. We need to grieve. If not, that pain within us will build up like a gas under pressure and will eventually explode. If we don't grieve in order to let our pain out, that pain will emerge in unhealthy and destructive ways that can destroy other relationships and result in losing other loved ones as we drive them away in our anger and frustration. But this doesn't have to happen. And it won't happen if we allow ourselves to let our pain emotions out. Yesterday's loss doesn't have to create more losses today. Grief is an experience common to all of us. We all lose someone we love sometimes. All of us grieve, but not all of us grieve with hope. I wish for all who have suffered loss with the wish that the Apostle Paul had for the grieving people of his day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he suggests that we grieve with a sense of hope for this life and for the next. The basis of our hope, even our grief, lies in this claim of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God, our Heavenly Father. We need to believe that claim from the bottom of our hearts. God is with us from the beginning, and He will be with us to the end and beyond. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God spoke to the people of Israel when they had lost everything and were exiled in a foreign land. To all those people grieving their loss and to us here today, God says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your well-being and not for harm, to give you a future and a hope. Henry Nguyen, a Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian, once said, perhaps nothing helps us make the movement from our little selves to a larger world than remembering God in gratitude. Such a perspective puts God in view in all of life, not just in the moments we set aside for worship or spiritual disciplines, not just in the moments when life seems easy. That is not only true for when life is easy, but when times are hard, when the trials seem unending, and when the light at the end of the tunnel might be that train coming straight at us. God is with us through thick and thin. He is there when we need someone to turn to, and just because we don't hear Him yammering in our ears doesn't mean that He's not there to be a shoulder for us to cry on and to lean on. If He can bring us to it, He can bring us through it. There you go. Don't be afraid, people. Someone once told me that we're Anglicans, we're thinkers. We think about what we're going through. We don't have that time for that Pentecostal or Baptist outburst, you know, like the amen or the hallelujah. Maybe we're the ones stiff-necking our ways, bottling up our emotions, so afraid to let our friends or our partners or our church colleagues know that we feel something, that we're connected, or that we understand what we're going, someone else is going through, or when a particular scripture hits us. That's the part that I've always found in the Anglican churches when I go to Synod and Clericus. When you hear the sermons and everybody's like this, you know, afraid to say anything for fear that E.F. Hutton will speak to them. Or E.F. Hutton spoke and everybody got silent. Just relax. If you feel something, let it out. Because we have to learn to let out our pain. We keep it in and it makes us bitter. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4 tells us, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Our comfort comes from God and from those who comfort us and are comforted by us in their time of need. We must grieve, but we must remember that we loved and are loved, and that is one feeling that we should always keep with us. Love should be the only four-letter word that we know of, or at least that we say. It should not be something that is locked away in a safe should something happen for fear of being hurt again. There's a saying that goes something like, it's better to have loved and lost than never have loved at all. I want y'all to turn to your right, for those that have people on their right. Turn to your left. Same thing applies with nobody on the other side. Tell that person, thank you for being there. I appreciate you being there in case I need to turn to you. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We should not be afraid when we come to church or when we're dealing with family. They are our family. We are family. If I want to step aside for a second and say, I know a lot of y'all are going through pain. Some of y'all have gone through the first year of being without your soulmate, second year, third year. 11 and a half years since my father passed away, 11 years and 2 months. If you need to talk, Father Brathwaite is here. I'm here. We can meet, we can talk on the phone, whatever you like. Our numbers are in the bulletins. If you need to contact us, let us know. If you want to just pull aside when people break free, always feel that we're approachable. At least I feel now versus a year ago when, yeah, I was rough around the ages. I know not a lot of y'all know that and still kind of think I'm a little rough. If you want to talk to me, if you want to talk to Father Brathwaite, you can. Okay? You and I who have loved and lost need to remember that it is our responsibility to remember those whom we love and to cherish their memory for the rest of our days. Again, let's take a moment of silence to remember those of us who have passed away and those that we have loved. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.